Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this final day of April. It is the 30th of April, 2012. Hope you're having a great day. Tomorrow will mark our 11-month anniversary on the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and then our simulcast out of Douglas on KAPR, AM 930, giving us really great reach for all of southern and southeastern Arizona. We live stream the show on my website, buckmastershow.com, and at kvoi.com. And you can hear our program anytime, anywhere in the world on one of three websites, buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. The show starts, as it does every Monday afternoon, with the political face-off featuring one of our two teams of commentators who rarely agree on anything. And that, of course, is the fun of it. They can strongly disagree with each other, but believe me, folks, they walk out of the studio together as friends. Today it's John Munger and Vince Robago joining us 30 minutes past the hour. Leah Marquez-Peterson, who heads up one of the most successful Hispanic chambers of commerce in the United States, joins us. Then we close out the show with one of my favorite charitable events worthy of our support during the year. That's the annual Letter Carriers Food Drive to benefit the Community Food Bank. And we encourage you to always be a part of the conversation on the Buckmaster Show. Our live line, 790-2040. You can email questions at buckmastershow.com or use the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. John Munger, Tucson attorney, former Republican candidate for Arizona governor in 2010. Vince Robago, 2010 Democratic candidate for Arizona attorney general, joining us on the Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Vince and John, how are both of you doing today?
Great. How are you, Bill?
Doing great,
good
Bill.
To see you.
Doing
same
real
here.
Well. And John, as I was mentioning before I went on, Moe's did just a beautiful job framing a Bolivian weaving behind glass. They just did it.
Moe does great work. Moe is just terrific. My wife uses Moe. She's an artist, and she uses Moe from time to time, and he's just terrific.
It's a great shop.
Today is a big day for Southern Arizona Republicans, Vince. The First Lady, Michelle Obama.
Democrats.
For Southern Arizona Democrats. Yes, thank you, John. As Michelle Obama arrives for a Democratic fundraiser tonight, Democrats want really to put Arizona in play and turn this state from red to blue. Do you think it's realistic?
I do think it's realistic, and it is a good day for Arizonans. To have the first lady, here visiting, it underscores the importance that Arizona has as a state. I think that's something every Arizonan should take pride in, that we are becoming a battleground state. The very recent polls show, I think, within a 2 percentage point difference, between, I think, the Rocky Mountain Institute and then the Morrison Institute here in Arizona, polls showing that the race is 42-40 for Obama and or 42-40 for Romney. So it is essentially a dead heat. Veteran political observers like the internet website RealClearPolitics.com, they upgraded Arizona from leaning Republican to a toss-up, and that's important. And I think it can and will happen. The reason why I believe it will happen is that Arizona embodies everything that needs together for Arizona to become a battleground state. One, you have anti-Hispanic politicians like Russell Pierce and Joe Arpaio, the genesis of Senate Bill 1070. Two, you have the current Arizona legislature passing anti-woman bills against birth control, new limits on abortions, going back to even pre-gestation, 2 weeks before pregnancy, outrageous bills against women. Three, you have these recent electoral gains, such as, in Phoenix, brand new Hispanic council member that got elected there. We have, for the first time in 16 years, a Democratic mayor here in the city of Tucson.
So things are kind of lining up.
Yes, and when you go back to the immigration issue, you've got tying it back into the presidency, you have the most anti-immigrant presidential candidate in Mitt Romney that we've ever seen. Here is a man who said he would punish children. He would veto the DREAM Act. Children who had nothing to do, they were underage, they were brought here by others, and he would veto that, not give them a chance, when even conservatives in Arizona, about 75% of all Arizonans, would approve of a version of the DREAM Act. And here you have Mitt Romney essentially following along the lines of these anti-Hispanic politicians like Joe Arpaio, Chris Kobach, and Russell Pierce.
So John Munger, Vince says it all lines up beautifully for Democrats.
Well, I just hope that the Democrats spend a lot of money in Arizona because, you know, you start from the proposition that every single state elected official in this state is a Republican. The Democrats have been unsuccessful in electing any statewide officer. In our Senate, we have 30 state senators, and we have of those, 21 are Republicans. And in the House, we have 40 House members, and 30 of those are Republicans. The Democrats have been singularly unsuccessful in this state. They like to tell lies about how we're anti-women and we're, anti-Hispanic. What we are is against illegal immigration. We are not against Hispanics. We certainly are not against women. Women have suffered more under Barack Obama in terms of their unemployment rate than any other single group. If there's anybody that's anti-women, it's Barack Obama, and the unemployment figures amongst women show it. The unemployment figures among blacks and Hispanics are even worse. Barack Obama has been the single worst president for blacks, Hispanics, and women in my memory. And the message will get out.
So it sounds like you say Vince has it all wrong.
He's got it all wrong. It's all spin. Yeah, but look at the numbers.
To talk about the spin I'm hearing from John, because there's quite a lot of it.
Look at the numbers. Look at the unemployment rate amongst women, blacks, and Hispanics, all caused by Barack Obama's non-existent policy. The fact that Democrats have not passed a budget for the United States for three consecutive years, which means there is no plan. When you don't have a budget, you don't have a plan.
So we're operating without a budget.
We are operating without a budget and without a plan.
Okay.
So let's talk about this. Some of the spin you just heard. For example, John just told you that Democrats do not have one state office, and that is number one, false. We have two Arizona Corporation Commissioners, Paul Newman, Sandra Kennedy, statewide constitutional officers. So right from the get-go, you hear misinformation coming from John. Sure. No, there's no question. But you hear misinformation right out the get-go. So take everything John says with a huge grain of salt. Research it yourselves, folks, because then here's my other point on what he just said about Republicans dominating the state. The fact that Republicans have been dominating this state is exactly the reason why Arizona has become a battleground state. They have abused power. They have launched an attack against women. It is undeniable. You had President Russell Pierce get ousted, and the most anti-Hispanic politician in the country gets ousted, and now the Republicans want to pay him $280,000 of taxpayer monies so that he can run for office again.
So you're saying
they are the reason that the fact that they've dominated Arizona politics is, in fact, one of the major reasons that we are in play.
Did I hear you correctly? Take what John Munger says with a grain of salt.
You might as well have a big old salt lick. If you're a cattleman or a rancher, take a salt lick, not just a grain of salt. It's got to be big. Because,
you notice
there's so much misinformation slathered
on there. You notice he has not argued with my
numbers.
He has not argued with the numbers about the unemployment rates for women,
have a chance to get there.
For women and blacks and Hispanics are the highest they've been in memory. And you know, the problem is Democrats are always, and liberals are always, looking at slurring the truth. Republicans are not against Hispanics. Republicans are against illegal immigrants, and we want to secure the border. And there's nothing wrong about that. In fact, the majority of the public supports us on those issues. So, you know, all I can say is I think Michelle Obama is going to come here and raise a lot of money. God bless her. She's the first lady. Have at it, but it's...
we all welcome her.
Sure,
all
sure. I have no problem with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just going to say, Do we want to take this call very quickly before the break? Yeah, let's go to Jerry on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Rose has lined that up for us. Jerry, go ahead.
Well, hello. I happen to be on, I'm a senior, and I happen to be on Medicare, and Obama has taken $500 billion out of my Medicare to give to Obamacare. I've lost my doctor, and several of my friends have lost their doctors, and some doctors aren't even taking Medicare because of that. They're really putting a problem on all these doctors.
Thank you, Jerry.
That is right, Jerry. You know, Barack Obama is destroying Medicare.
That's a falsehood.
You are not alone. The seniors across the country are very strongly recognizing that Barack Obama is trying to destroy Medicare. Look, the fact of the matter is the fact of the matter is the ladies. Correct. Doctors are increasingly not taking Medicare. They are underpaid in Medicare, and they can't get the same doctors they used to get. You can't argue with the lady's facts.
You can argue with lady's facts because she's got it wrong. The major provisions of the law have not even got into place. You have these health care exchanges that have not actually come into place. You have candidates here like Jesse Kelly that want to get rid of Medicare and Medicaid.
No, he doesn't.
And that say that. They want to privatize it, make it a voucher system. So when you look at the facts, it's the Republicans that want to destroy and privatize
that
Medicare.
Incorrect.
And then you have these talking points that are not based on any real facts whatsoever.
Vince Rabago and John Munger will be back. This is the Monday Political Face-Off on the Buckmaster Show. When we come back, what about this oil scarcity math? That will be the topic we will address next on the Monday Political Face-Off. Stay with us.
One of Broadway's biggest hits is on tour and coming soon. Disney and Cameron Mackintosh's Mary Poppins, live on stage. Variety raves Mary Poppins is the rare touring production that over-delivers at every level. And now is your chance to experience it.
Disney's Mary Poppins, May 16th through the 20th at the Tucson Music Hall. Tickets start at $29. Purchase tickets at BroadwayInTucson.com or call 1-800-745-3000.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Augustus Paris Antiques is a very special place for the discriminating antique collector, specializing in one-of-a-kind pieces of 19th century to mid-20th century European antique furniture and objects of art. Owner Roberta Franzheim has a great eye for quality and lasting appeal. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Well, 20 on the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show, Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Moe's Gallery at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Moe's has all of your needs taken care of when it comes to custom frame mirrors. He's got great art there. He'll hang the pictures. He's got really takes care of everything from A to Z, all of your framing needs. John Munger, Vince Rabago with me on Monday Political Face-Off. And John, I know you feel very strongly about this, wanted to cover it. We ran out of time 2 weeks ago. What is called the oil scarcity math, or I guess some would say myth, right?
Well, right. You know, President Obama is out talking, scaring the country, saying that we need to get off oil because we don't have enough oil. We'll never have enough oil. We only have 2% of the world's oil supplies. Unfortunately, he's again incorrect. His math is wrong. We have 22.3 billion barrels of oil that is currently being recovered, that is being drilled. But what the and that's the 2%. What he didn't count is another 400 billion barrels of recoverable oil. Incidentally, the Saudis have only 272 billion barrels of reserves, so we've got an additional 400 billion barrels, and that is not counting the 800 billion barrels of oil shale.
Yeah, the statement was, Mr. Obama said, with only 2% of the world's oil reserves, we can't just drill our way to lower gas prices, not when we consume 20% of the world's oil.
Yeah, we have something in the range of 40% of the world's oil, according to these numbers. The president's only counting in his 2%. The oil that we're actually drilling for right now, he's not counting our technically recoverable
oil. So you say he's playing with the numbers.
Oh, he's playing with the numbers to further his political agenda, and it's just incorrect. And it's unfortunately, when your political agenda, when numbers are skewed by politics, then we get into lying. And let's just tell the truth and deal with the issues as the issues really are. We have something in the range of 40 to 60% of the world's oil reserves. We have more oil reserves than Saudi Arabia right here in the United States. So that is not counting what we have in Canada and Mexico.
So you just wish he would stop.
I wish he'd start telling the truth and dealing with the issues as they are.
Is he not telling the truth, Vince?
President Obama is telling the truth. You want to talk about economics and inflation? We just have the greatest inflation of numbers I have ever heard from John. The reality is that you don't have to listen to what President Obama is saying at all. You can look at, for example, Time magazine last year that specifically talks about the U.S. consuming a quarter of the world's oil. We have less than 2% of total remaining reserves. That's an article May 6, 2011. Now, the reason that what they're trying to do is they're trying to say, well, you know, there's all this oil out there and we can reach it. What they're not accounting for is, number one, the difficulty the cost and the environmental damage to get to various oil reserves. And so they're trying to include everything under the bus. But I want everyone to think about the Earth as a big basketball. There's only so much air in that basketball. And through we've been draining the oil out of the Earth at enormous paces. And at a certain point, there's only so much that we're going to have. So what the president has
Has a responsible. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying if you think about the oil that's in the Earth, like if you deflate a basketball, there's only so much air in there. And when you finish taking it all out, you can't get it much more out of it. And what we have in this world, what the Republicans don't want to tell you, and why John wants to throw out these numbers of barrels and say, oh, we're talking about technically recoverable oil, these vague phrases to refer to oil that is so cost prohibitive to even get to, that the technology is not safe, the environmental damage, and the cost.
So you think John's playing with
John is playing with numbers, and he's the one. If you look at Time Magazine, let me just – It is a great source.
Let me finish, John. You had
all kinds of time to talk about your numbers, John. Here's an article. Here's a magazine. Here's the cover of Time Magazine, April 9th, 2012. Just
Time
came
magazine
out.
Is not
let me,
a
let
source.
Me just read you the title so your listeners can know about
Time
the facts.
Time Magazine is not a source.
The truth about oil. New breakthroughs are actually increasing U.S. supplies, but homegrown oil is not going to lower prices at the pump.
That is
now,
a
the reality is
economic
the reality
decision.
Is this, that China and other developing countries, their demand is growing so fast that you could punch a hole in every state of this union to drill for oil, and you will not meet that demand that is growing in all these developing
you
countries.
You don't know that.
That it is. I mean,
he's got the cover story. He's right here.
This is the reason that they're pushing this meme is because gas prices are going up. People are afraid.
Okay, all right.
And then you got Jesse Kelly
now, John, he's got the cover story.
Oh, the cover story of Time Magazine that in the statement makes these political and economic points. Look, I'm citing from a Department of Energy, RAND Corporation, Institute for Energy Research Study. This is the combination of the Department of Energy and the RAND Corporation, Institute for Energy Research Study. And it says, this is how much oil we have. Now, Vince is getting into a different issue. And you
What's
need to,
the issue?
The issue he's getting into is, okay, now he's saying, well, we have the oil, but we can't get to it. So
no, I'm
now,
saying we don't
now,
have the oil
now,
and
now,
to get to it.
Now we've shifted. Now we got the oil, but
nope,
he's saying
said that.
we can't get to it. And the problem is that as new processes develop and as the price of oil begins to rise, those processes become very feasible and increasingly – we didn't have fracturing 15, 20 years ago. New processes develop which are make these recoverable resources.
So you're saying there's plenty of oil. It's just that we just haven't been able to get to it.
Well, there's plenty of oil, and we will get to it, but it's a wrong statement to start from the premise there isn't any oil in the first place. Yes, there's plenty of oil. Then you work – then you get to the proposition, okay, what do we need to get to it? And these are 400 billion barrels, according to the RAND research, of recoverable crude oil.
RAND research. RAND is a conservative think tank organization. Baloney. So the numbers they put out are politically driven already.
This is done by the Department of Energy,
he just said
which
the
is
RAND
under
numbers.
Obama.
Yeah.
It is a research study put together at the request of the Department of Energy. The RAND Corporation is far more reputable than Time Magazine, for God's sake.
A conservative RAND organization.
Oh,
is.
That's
I would,
just
I would
so
choose
much bull.
Independent journalists like Time Magazine.
Oh,
who
knows so much.
Any,
the, guy, the guy who wrote that article knows nothing about it other than what he reads.
Yeah,
he's
so
a journalist.
So here's the reality of
he's
it.
He's a journalist.
The Republicans are stuck on one.
So what's the bottom line on this?
The bottom line is if you want to go forward with energy production in alternative methods, the president wants an all of the above approach. We've got to develop wind power. We've got to develop solar power. We've got to look for alternative means. We're increasing efficiency already, which is what the auto industry has been doing. And the reality is they want to just focus on one thing. They're trying to politically capitalize on the rising gas prices, which is due to global demand. And the reality is you could punch a hole right now. And you're not going to decrease those prices. They're using fear factor tactics about the gas prices at the pump to try to gain political points.
Here's the problem,
They cannot deny that.
The president is not for an all-of-the-above approach. He's for all the above except oil.
Here it is. I'm looking at his policy statement right here. Vince, please, I didn't interrupt you.
Okay. Go ahead,
The president has reduced the number of federal permits on federal land by 38% since he took office. We are we have 38% fewer permits on federal property than we did when he took office. The oil we are producing today, you guys have all said, takes 3 to 5 years to develop those oil resources. And it does. And we are now producing oil resources today on private lands, which resulted from the Republican conservative policy of George Bush. If we didn't have those.
Final comment.
And the president is also trying to stop fracturing.
Okay. Vince, final comment.
The reality is you can look at the numbers. Under this administration, U.S. oil and natural gas has increased each year.
And he's done nothing importing, to cause
while imports that. Of foreign oil has decreased.
It's the highest level in eight years.
It's false to say the president is against oil production.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. The Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Moe's has all of your framing needs, family run and owned since 1985. Vince Rabago, John Munger, thank you both very much. Have a great week.
You too.
Thanks a lot.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The White House now offering details about the covert, if widely known, practice of drone strikes on al-Qaeda targets overseas. Israel's defense minister offers more tough talk about Iran. The defense minister, Ehud Barak, says as long as Iran poses a threat to Israel with its nuclear program, all options remain on the table. A federal judge in Austin has stopped Texas from banning Planned Parenthood from taking part in the state's women's health program. Well, apparently, the U.S.-led coalition in Afghanistan is underreporting the number of times Afghan soldiers and police fire on American and other foreign troops, that according to an investigation conducted by the AP. The Dow is down 36 points, the NASDAQ off 23. More details at srnnews.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 1234. I want to welcome a new sponsor to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of our show is made possible in part by the support of Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. Adobe House Antiques, they're over in that Jostler Design building just north of the Blue Willow at 2700 North Campbell. It's a beautiful building. They've got beautiful things inside. Give them a call, Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. Well, the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, the largest Latino business organization in Arizona, and Mi Familia Vota Education Fund, a national nonpartisan organization whose mission is to increase Latino civic participation, have joined forces to assist in voter outreach efforts to the Hispanic community in Southern Arizona. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce President and CEO, Leah Marquez Peterson. Leah, good to see you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
What is the goal of this teaming up with Mi Familia?
I think probably most of your listeners are aware that close to 30% of our population in the state of Arizona is Latino, and even higher here in the Tucson area. 42% of Tucson in the last census data is Latino. Yet we continue to see a disparity among voter turnout. So what we have done is partner with a nonpartisan organization, Mi Familia Vota, to go door to door, help them find volunteers, help fundraise, and focus on low propensity voters. We know certainly in this election cycle that the candidates are out, you know, knocking on doors and focused on those that vote the most often, the high propensity voters. We're focused on those that perhaps got registered and haven't shown up to vote. And we're also working quite a bit with them on voter registration.
Why do Hispanics vote in low numbers?
You know, I think that's a good point in from those that are perhaps first generation, voting in Mexico is a little different. There might be some of that impact. And then secondly, I think that it's really that outreach. We are trying to work with both the League of Women Voters and Mi Familia Vota on issue books, understanding the issues, understanding how important your one vote is to the election cycle, making sure that they get an opportunity to meet with the candidates of all the parties so that they really feel like they can engage and get involved and the election cycle impacts their lives.
And often there's a generalization that the Latino vote will be going to one party or another. I'm sure you hear that all the time.
I do. We are focused nonpartisan on voter registration, but I think about numbers that I've seen, about 15% of those Latinos that are registered as Republican. So certainly there's a large group that are Democrat and independent, which is growing much like the mainstream independent movement, I'd call it.
The Morrison Institute up at ASU put out a report on Friday about Latino education. And I think the bottom line to this report, which is available on their website, Morrison Institute, is that with that, and you mentioned 30% of the state's population is Hispanic, Latino. It's higher here in Pima County and continues to grow. With this, over the next 10 years, we really have to close what they call the Latino education gap.
Absolutely. There is such a disparity. And interestingly enough, we recently hosted a school board candidate academy for anyone in the community. But one of the points I made when I stood up to talk was that 6 out of 10 students in Pima County are Hispanic. And it's the growing population. Obviously, we've all seen the trend data. So irregardless of which of the 17 school districts they were running for a school board in Pima County, this education gap, this growing population, is certainly something that every school board needs to pay attention to.
How can we change that, or what can we do to narrow that gap?
I think that's the million-dollar question. When we were looking at some of the Morrison Institute information, that's the first thing I thought of. the data's there, but we really need some solutions.
Yeah, they didn't have any answers to this. They put out a lot of facts, but they didn't really make any suggestions about how to improve it.
I think it's interesting that the growth of the charter schools, private schools, and certainly the competition among public schools, I think that's going to make a difference in the long run, too.
We're speaking with the chamber president of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce here in Tucson, Leah Marquez Peterson. The chamber continues to grow, doesn't it?
Absolutely. We're so excited. We have offices in Tucson and in Hermosillo. So we have almost 1,000 member businesses here in Arizona, and we're growing our binational influence by adding Mexican businesses also.
How does the economy look? Are things turning around?
Interestingly enough, in Sonora, very strong economy, much better than Arizona. We are seeing now in Arizona and hearing from our businesses that things are getting a little better. Over the last 2 years, as you know, people have laid off and been really lean in terms of their business operation. And they're now coming back out and looking for additional revenue streams. And as a Hispanic chamber, we're particularly focused on Sonora and the great opportunities we think there are for businesses on the other side of the border.
The number of Mexican immigrants living illegally in the United States has dropped significantly for the first time in decades. There really has been, Leah, a dramatic shift, as many illegal workers already in the U.S. now seeking fewer job opportunities here are returning to Mexico.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no surprise as the economy suffered in the United States or in Arizona, less job opportunities, so less people coming across. What's interesting, though, and I think this is a real opportunity for discussion to happen around federal immigration reform. With the numbers down, this is the time that we should be addressing different issues regarding guest worker programs. Take a hard look at E-Verify and the mandate we have in the state of Arizona. Talk about trade and customs and the things that impact our businesses. This is the time.
Yeah, I mean, with these numbers down, as you say, this is the time. Perhaps the rhetoric then won't be as heated at this particular point.
I hope so. I mean, I'm following the election just like your former the speakers that were just here.
Yes.
And that was pretty heated.
Yes.
But, to have some dialogue, I think the American population is interested certainly in job recovery, economic turnaround. But I think immigration has come to the forefront. You hear it from both Romney and President Obama speaking about immigration. And I think a lot of people want to see a comprehensive approach to it.
What would your ideal approach be then, Leah?
In terms of immigration?
Mm-hmm.
We actually have put a lot of thought around this. We think that though SB 1070 is certainly something that the courts are debating right now, that immigration needs to be handled at a federal level. It has not been effective. It has not been productive to have immigration bills passing state by state, this patchwork quilt of bills going on throughout the nation. So I've actually participated in lobbying trips back to D.C. to talk to Republican congressmen about immigration from a federal perspective. So certainly a component of that is guest worker programs, looking at the E-Verify program, talking about border security, but also looking to the workforce. I think you really need to differentiate between high-skill and low-skill workers. And the visa program has improved under the Obama administration in terms of the number of people being allowed to stay. But we haven't addressed the low-skill workers yet. And that's still a top concern, I think, to a lot of our employers.
We're speaking with Leah Marquez Peterson. She is the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, the Southern Arizona Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce president and CEO. The Mariachi Festival had its 30th anniversary over the weekend. They had a change of scenery, moving the venues from the TCC out to the Casino del Sol Resort. What are you hearing about the weekend activities?
Oh, I attended. It was wonderful. I hope a lot of your listeners were able to head out there. Casino del Sol stepped in as a major partner of the Mariachi Festival, and they still had the youth component on Thursday. I attended the big concert on Friday night, which was packed. I don't know if it was sold out, but it sure looked like it. It was a wonderful evening, great weather. And then Saturday was a day full of activities and concerts and food. And it seemed from my perspective as an attendee a big success.
So it seems like maybe it was a very good idea to put everything under one roof for the event.
It seemed like it. At one point, one of the entertainers yelled out to the crowd and said, "How many of you are from California?" And a big chunk of people raised their hand. "How many from Sonora?" And I think they're drawing people in. It's a real tourist attraction to our community.
Tell me a little bit about the Hispanic Chamber in the remaining minute or so. Where can people find out more information? Who is eligible to be a member?
Yeah, anyone can be a member. You don't have to be Hispanic or speak Spanish. It's all about reaching the fast-growing demographic. And we can be reached at TucsonHispanicChamber.org.
And the Hispanic Chamber works very hard, I know, to promote Tucson. You were saying about how things are really booming down in Sonora, the business outlook working very much in our favor, I think, when those numbers go up.
It is, and we are hosting events in Hermosillo, in Nogales. We're partnering with different organizations down there. So for business owners out there that are considering that additional revenue stream, how do you export to Mexico, or Mexican business, how do you export into the United States? We're trying to really lend a hand there and fill that gap. We think there's a need.
Thank you very much, Leah. Good
Thank
talking
you,
with you. Coming up now on 12:44 on the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show, we'll be talking about the 20th annual National Association of Letter Carriers Stamp Out Hunger event. This is a great event. It's coming up very soon here in Southern Arizona, and we will tell you all about it as we continue. This is Buckmaster on KVOI, The Voice.
One of Broadway's biggest hits is on tour and coming soon. Disney and Cameron McIntosh's Mary Poppins, live on stage. Variety raves, Mary Poppins is the rare touring production that over-delivers at every level. And now is your chance to experience it.
Disney's Mary Poppins, May 16th through the 20th at the Tucson Music Hall. Tickets start at $29. Purchase tickets at BroadwayInTucson.com or call 1-800-745-3000.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for bio development. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Why travel to Paris in search of that special antique when you have Augustus Paris Antiques right here in Tucson? Owner Roberta Fransheim specializes in selecting one-of-a-kind pieces of European antique furniture and objects of art from the 19th century to mid-20th century chic. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, and this portion of Buckmaster comes in part from our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more on their fine website, SplendidoTucson.com. They've got a lot of activities this week in connection with Cinco de Mayo, so check it out. The 20th Annual National Association of Letter Carriers Stamp Out Hunger event to benefit the Community Food Bank is coming up on Saturday, May 12th. Joining us in studio on the Buckmaster Show, Jack Paris. Jack heads up public information for the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. And Dan Turrentine, National Association of Letter Carriers Food Drive Coordinator. Dan and Jack, good to see both of you.
Thank you for asking us.
Thank you, Bill.
Well, Jack, I like this. This particular event is one of my favorites of all the many charities throughout the year. And it's not only a fun event in that it's easy for people just to put the stuff out on the curb.
That's exactly right. Yeah. It's easy, and it's the biggest food drive we have every year, so it's very, very important to us. And food bank's been having some rough times lately with the number of people that have come to us for help. So we're hoping this year, the 20th anniversary, will be especially big with the help of Dan and his colleagues.
Dan, what will your colleagues be available to pick up on that day, Saturday, May the 12th?
Well, we're looking for mostly canned goods, some of the popular items. Peanut butter is a very popular item with the food bank. Any kind of bag, rice, cereals. What we're not looking for is items in glass. People have to understand that this is going to go through a lot of handling, and the glass tends to get broken. So canned goods of any nature.
Dan, this program, our Buckmaster Show, is heard really throughout southern and southeastern Arizona. Is this just for Tucson, or are letter carriers in Cochise County participating as well?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Yes, they are.
Jack, maybe you can talk a little bit more about that.
This is all over southern Arizona, right?
So folks are listening to this program all the way to the New Mexico border. So this is going to be going on in all of their communities.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And it's, as you said, Bill, it's really easy. All we're asking is that people put gather up their food, as Dan just described, and just put it out on Saturday, May 12th, before the regular letter carrier comes around. And they also will take monetary donations. And we also have a place online where people can go online and make a donation to the letter carrier's food drive. And that's at the Community Food Bank website, which is www.communityfoodbank.org. And it's under donations, and they can make a donation right there online, fast and easy to do.
How important is this particular Stamp Out Hunger event, Jack Paris, in the overall scheme of things of your very, very good community outreach that you do there at the food bank?
Well, Bill, you know, people think about feeding the hungry during the holidays, and then our donations drop off dramatically in the first quarter in January and February. And the letter carrier's food drive in May is the first chance that we've had to really ask people for big amounts of help. So it's tremendously important to get us started going into the summer months and into the fall. So it's our largest food drive and probably our most important food drive that we have each year.
Dan, are the letter carriers, do they get into this, or do they, is it part of a job, or it's personal for them?
Oh, it's very personal. Letter carriers take great pride in running this event each year.
How much can they pick up then? Is it pretty much just a bag or two? Or Jack, is it? Or
well,
Dan, go ahead.
Let me put it this way. Okay. Letter carriers are not allowed to pick up more than 70 pounds. So whoever wants to donate more than 70 pounds, please divide it into two increments. Mm-hmm. But we'll be happy to pick up. Yeah.
We're going to, before May 12th, we're going to hand out 300,000 bags.
Really?
300,000 food donation, or the letter carriers are going to do it anyway.
Right.
So we hopefully those will go out to all the people that, in our community in Southern Arizona. But if they don't get a bag, go ahead and grab a paper bag out of your closet or something and go through your pantry and see what you've got that you haven't used for a while and put that in there and put that out on Saturday, May 12th as well.
And, of course, you'll be leaving non-perishable food such as canned meats, canned vegetables, canned soup, cereal. Dan had mentioned peanut butter, canned fruit, canned tomato products, and you just leave that next to your mailbox. Jack Paris, is there a particular need for some individual goods this year?
Well, Dan mentioned it, but, you know, we need peanut butter. Peanut butter is something that goes in every one of our food boxes that we give out to families. And the price of peanut butter has gone up dramatically in the last year.
Really?
Yes. We used to buy a load of peanut butter, a semi-truck load of peanut butter, for $40,000, and it costs us $70,000 now. So it's a very important part of our food boxes, and the price has gone up, so we need all the peanut butter that people can give us.
Dan, why did you get involved in this?
It's just so heartwarming to, you know, when I turn the corner onto a street and I see bags just lining the street by the mailboxes, it gives me a great feeling, and I look forward to it every year.
Dan Turrentine is with the National Association of Letter Carriers, and they are looking forward to the food drive and the benefit of that food drive, the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. Jack Paris is also with us. And, Jack, I want to send out our congratulations to your CEO, the head of the Community Food Bank, Bill Carnegie, who was recently honored with really it's the top Community Food Bank Award in the country.
That's exactly right. He was named Top Executive of the Year of the Food Banks for Feeding America, and he's great, and he does a great job in keeping us all in line, and we have a lot of fun, too.
We had a caller who did not want to go on the air, Jack, but the caller wanted to know, is there a record amount of food that is pulled in with this event? Give us some kind of an idea. Do you go by tonnage or truckloads or?
Well, the letter carriers counted a little bit differently. We counted in pounds.
Okay.
And last year we did 233,000 pounds of food. Now we've had larger food drives than that. Several years ago, we were over 300,000 pounds. But like a lot of things, it's been kind of drifting off a little bit.
So the record would be to shoot for this year?
Over 300,000 anyway.
300,000 pounds.
Dan may have something to add to that.
Yeah, on a national level, I would like to state that for the last 8 years running, we have collected over 70 million pounds of food each year. Last year, we went over for the 20 years that the food drive has been in existence, we went over the 1.1 billion pounds.
Right.
Wow.
And the need is even more desperate now. Last year our collections actually fell off a little bit, and the need was higher then, and it's even higher now. We need to get those donations back up.
Jack, talk a little bit about the need right now.
Well, here in a nutshell, Bill, 4 years ago, we were helping 98,000 people a month with all of our programs. Today, we're helping over 225,000 people a month with all of our programs. It's a 126% increase from 4 years ago. So Dan's exactly right. Things are still, we have a lot of people who are unemployed. We have people underemployed, people who are sick, veterans. It just keeps coming. And Bill Carnegie always says, we've hit the perfect storm. We have less food to hand out and more people asking for food. So this time, we're really hoping this will be a really, really big food drive.
Is this something that community food banks across the country, Jack Paris, are experiencing right now?
Absolutely,
This huge downturn in, well, I guess the unemployment, but the huge downturn in the amount of food perhaps that's been coming in and the need going up, that's not very good.
That's not, and that's exactly what's happening all over the country. We used to get a lot more surplus food from the USDA, and they've had to cut back. So all the food banks, all or 200 food banks in the country are experience the same thing that the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona is.
And if people cannot donate food but they want to give of their time, you had mentioned there is a way to make a monetary donation, and you had mentioned that if someone is interested in helping online, they can just go to communityfoodbank.org. But what about people who would like to volunteer, Jack Paris?
And I wanted to mention, Bill, thank you for mentioning that. We do need volunteers. We need volunteers the day of the event, May 12th, and we need volunteers after the event to help sort all of the food that we get. And they can call our main number, 622-0525, and volunteer, or they can go online and volunteer as well.
You also use volunteers throughout the year, correct?
Absolutely. Last year, we had 150,000 hours of volunteer time.
Wow. So, again, that is Stamp Out Hunger, the food drive, and online donations. You can get more information at communityfoodbank.org. But this is the 20th year. This is the 20th anniversary year for this fantastic event. It's Saturday, May the 12th for the annual Stamp Out Hunger food drive. You will be, Dan, you and your crew of letter carriers will be delivering those bags a couple of days before the event.
That's correct. We'll deliver the card that announces it, and then another day we'll deliver the bags. Try to get as many reminders out there as possible.
And let's hope we can hit a record, Jack Paris, of over 300,000 pounds. Let's shoot for that.
Absolutely, Bill. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Jack Paris and Dan Turrentine from the Letter Carriers. That's going to do it today for the Buckmaster Show. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants Mike Flowers and his gang over at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. That's going to do it for our Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We'll be back with you tomorrow. We'll have the certified financial planner Shelley Fishman with his Tuesday Moneymaker report and a lot more. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, the voice, Good News Radio Network.